World's on fire. Our culture's...
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I gotta be honest with you, I don't even know if I can keep up with it. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't know if I can keep up with what the heck's going on around us. The Bible says there's nothing hidden that will not be exposed. And there's a lot of exposing going on. And I think what we have to really begin to watch for is the counteraction to the action. And, you know, we all get caught up into the whole Doge thing and all the money that Trump's saving and all that kind of stuff. We don't even know that money. First of all, we know this, right? Money isn't even real. Money, folks, isn't even real. Now, I'm not a financial observer. The Holy Spirit just said this to me. I wasn't planning on saying this. Metals are about to go through like unbelievable. I've seen reports that maybe an ounce of when they get into Fort Knox and find there any gold in Fort Knox, better get ready. They said it could go to $100,000 an ounce. Now that's ridiculous, maybe, huh? But oh boy. And remember this: when you buy gold or silver, I don't care where you buy it. Go to the pawn shop. You buy gold or silver, you aren't spending it. You're investing it. Gold's going on its way up. Gold's higher than its 3,000. Excuse me. Pardon me. When I first bought a little bit of gold, I bought it at $1,200. $1,200, I don't know, 10 years ago maybe. $1,200. It's $3,000 today. Because why? I wish I had a dollar bill in front of me. Here it is. Folks, these aren't real. These things aren't real. It's paper. It's all it is. It's supposed to be backed by something, see? And we could get Jack in here. He could go on and on about silver certificates. You used to be able to take this thing to the bank and trade this thing in for silver. You used to be able to do that. It says it used to say on the silver certificate, redeemable in gold and silver, yada, yada, yada. You go to the bank, they'd give you silver. There's nothing backing it anymore. That's why we're talking about Bitcoin and all this other stuff's going on, because they're trying to move to a new form of currency because the old one ain't real. It's paper. Oh, it's a fancy paper. It's government-issued paper, but it's paper. And so with $35 trillion in debt, how do you get $35 trillion in debt? Well, this isn't real. It isn't real. And so they know it's not real, so they print it and hand it out. And so far, we've been able to get along okay with it because whatever, everybody believes in the old greenback and everybody supports it. Friends, this is going away. What do you think Bitcoin's all about? What do you think all these cryptocurrencies are all about? Because at some point, the plug's going to be pulled on this thing. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the truth. And then it's going to be real tangible money. It's going to be electronic money. Say, all right, Coach, I got a lot of Bitcoin. Great. What if they shut down the internet? Nobody's been able to give me the answer on that one. What if they shut down the internet? They give you a bunch of Bitcoin, and then they shut down the internet. Now, we all know this, that it's all about, I'm no financial expert. Lord knows I shouldn't be giving you advice, but I'm smart enough to figure this one out. That they want to get us into some type of financial system where they have total and complete control, to where you cannot eat, buy, sell, do anything without their approval, without them knowing it, digital, yada, yada, yada. See where this whole thing's gone. And I'm sure Mark Trump could talk to us even more about this. But I'm here to tell you right now today, you do whatever you want to do and you go wherever you want to go. But Spencer, if you pull up right now, a website called Kitco, K-I-T-C-O. I'm sorry, folks. I just got to get this off my chest so I'll feel good about it. Kitco, the price right now, what's the price? Let me get my glasses on here. What's the price of silver right now, Spencer? There's gold. Gold is 2,900. Go back to gold again. So gold is, I remember, yeah, Spencer will get it for us. Kitco, 2,950 cents for 1 ounce of gold. 1 ounce of gold, 2,950 cents. And silver is, click on silver. Silver is 32.45. I remember buying silver at 17. Okay. Now, friends, listen. Here's what's really important. I'm not an expert. I'm just trying to help you out here. The ratio between gold and silver is normally like 18 to 1. In other words, 18 pieces of silver would buy an ounce of gold. 18 ounces of silver would buy an ounce of gold. That's been the ratio probably throughout most of history. Really, really. Right now, the ratio gold to silver is about 80 to 1. In other words, silver is really, really undervalued. I'm not here to sell you anything. I don't care. I'm just telling you, if you've got some bucks laying around, specifically laying in the bank, I'm going to tell you this also. If you don't hold it, you don't own it. That's what scares me about the cryptos, currencies, and all that other stuff they're going to. If you don't hold it, you don't own it. Say, well, coach, I got it right here. I got it right in my account here on my phone. See, right here. I'll go to my crypto account. Go see, there it is. Oh, well, good. Good. Until they shut the phones down. Until the internet goes down. Then where's all your money? So at some point, it's always been gold and silver. So I don't even know how I got on this morning, other than something's going on, man. We are right now. The upheaval that's going on, I got a lot of stuff to show you today, okay? I got a lot of stuff to show you today. And the upheaval, that's what's going on. So let's start out with this, Spence. Mark Trump sent me some good stuff. He's always, because Mark always understands this, how do I say this? This unnatural world that's around us. I mean, it's really the real world, right? Frequencies and he understands all that. He gets all that. That's all Bitcoin is. It's just somebody's created something, right? And so the idea of tangible, meaning the fact that you can hold it tangible, those days are almost going away. Think about when you go, has anybody, look, anybody figured out how to do those? Spencer, what do they call those things in where you hold your phone up and they just click it? What's that thing called? You go pay for something, you say, bear. Barcode, some kind of barcode.
QR
right?
code.
What's that thing? What's that?
QR code.
Does anybody out there my age know what the hell QR code is? But that's where everything's gone, right? I can go buy gas now and just a QR code. I don't even have to put a credit card in there anymore. Boom, boom, boom. So everything is changing and moving so quickly that those of us who are 72 years old, we don't get it. We don't get it. And those who are 18 years old get it. I was having a conversation last night with my children about gold and silver. I'm going to tell you something. They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't get it. Because why? They've been raised in a different world. You guys remember this? Remember what a dollar used to be able to buy for you? You guys remember when you used to go to the 5 and 10 store? Anybody remember that? 5 and 10 store? You go, Mama would give me a quarter, and I'd go over to Dawson's 5 and 10, and my goodness, I'd come home with a whole handful of candy. You guys remember that, right? What, the candy got more valuable? No, the dollar's no good. And it's all part of what they're trying to do, okay? Yeah, penny candy, Paul. And I can't even hear it. So, look, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to get you to do anything. I'm just telling you something. If you got some money laying around, you got it hidden under your old shoe, it might be a good idea to get yourself some real barterable gold and silver. And understand this. I always have one laying around here. This is what they call junk silver. This is just, it isn't junk, but it's what they call junk silver. I'm sorry if I'm doing this. If I'm boring you, I'm sorry, okay? This is junk silver. This is a pre-1964 dime. And it was printed with no copper in it. It was real silver. And so this dime right now, this is just a dime. It's just an old dime. Pre-1964 dime is worth right now about, what's one-tenth of $30? Oh, $3. That thing's worth $3. Real silver, right? Real silver. So I got this bottle. This is old junk silver. How much is in here? $3. $3 of junk silver I got right there. All dimes. But if each one of these are now worth $3, well, I got $30. Got it? All right. I know that's it. Because, friends, it's all changing so fast. We are in the midst of the greatest upheaval world's ever seen in a lot of different ways, one of them being money. They want money to go away. They want you to have to use your credit card and do all that stuff so they can control what you're going to spend. And so there's going to be at some point in my lifetime, maybe not in many of your lifetime, who knows, there's going to be a black market. There's going to be a black market where once again, a dime's going to be able to buy me something. I'm just telling you, those days are coming, friends. They're coming as sure as I'm sitting here. So here's a good website that you can follow. It's called Kitco, and it just talks about metals, where the metals are gone. And blah, blah. I heard yesterday from, I think I told you, some guy said when they find out there's no gold in Fort Knox, which we don't really know that for sure, but they find out there's no gold in Fort Knox, gold's going to be $100,000 an ounce. I mean, is it really? I don't know. But it sure ain't going to be $3,000. And silver sure ain't going to be $32.50. So it is what it is. Go ahead, Glenn. Come on in. I'm sorry to get on this, folks. It just came out of me. So there you go.
Yeah. So the ratio actually is 90 to 1 right now.
90 to 1. Normally 18 to 1, right, Glenn?
Yes.
Silver
comes out of the ground at 7 to 1. 7 ounces to 1 ounce of gold, it comes out of the ground. But here's the thing. When gold continues to spike up, all right, it's for the average person, it's going to become unaffordable. So what's going to happen is that people will recognize, hey, I better get some precious metals. So what they'll do is they'll go to silver. And the silver market, you have to understand, is much smaller than the gold market. So what'll happen is silver will suddenly become unattainable. So you know, if you're thinking, hey, maybe I should do something, you know, you might want to get some silver now.
Right now. Because normally, as you said, it's what, 16 to 1 or 18? Folks, that means that 16 of these dimes, 16 would buy 1 ounce of silver. No, that's not true. 16 ounces of silver would be equal to 1 ounce of gold. That's the ratio that's always been, always. And now it's what did you say, Glenn? 90.
It's 90 to 1 right now.
90. So, folks, come on. Now think that through, right? 90 to 1. 90 to 1. I'm going to go to the pawn shop and buy everything I got. Huh? You say what? Well, you think this is going to stay good? Come on. They're already trying to go to digital. Everything's trying digital, right? They don't want you carrying. You think this thing's going to be worth anything? So if you got any of these hanging around, like, you know, hey, I'm not a financial advisor or the son of one or the wife of one. But something's going on.
Thank God you're not a wife of one, Coach.
I just seen if you were listening out there, Dale. I just seen if you were listening. Go ahead, Greg. Come on, hurry. I got some good stuff to get to. Go ahead.
You know what other major thing happened in 1963, Coach?
What's that?
John F. Kennedy was killed. You know who 63. Took the silver?
I'm,
you know
63. I'm sorry, 63. 63.
Yeah, 1963. And you know who took the silver out? That would be Lyndon B. Johnson.
Mm.
You know he was 32nd, 33 degree Mason. Did you know that?
Funny how that works, huh?
And do you know who the predecessor that took away the ability for Americans to hold gold was? You remember who his name was?
Abraham Nixon?
No, it was Roosevelt, 1933.
Oh. I'm going the wrong way. Yep.
He was a 33 degree Mason.
Well, funny how that happened.
So it seems like the Masons
took us off the gold standard, didn't he? Didn't Nixon take us off the gold standard?
Well, the Masons wanted to take us off the metal to paper dollar ratio.
Here we are. You don't have to believe in it. It just is what it is. Dale.
Yeah, amen, Coach. Another great thing that happened in 1963. I was born. No, kidding. No, I was born. But anyway, Coach. Just look at the high prices of silver. You know, you always see that trend. Gold goes up, silver goes up. They go down to the ratio. But in 1980, I always thought it was 2011, the highest price of silver. It was $48 an ounce.
That's right.
But the highest price of silver ever was in 1980, where it was $49 an ounce. You talk about the suppression of silver more than anything. That ratio, why is it? Because gold never does that. It goes up a little bit, tricks down, but it's always going up. Even right now, gold has gone up. That's what I say, at $29.60. Silver was at $35 an ounce back in November, and it has actually dropped down. It's crazy. Dropped down this year. It's at 32 something an ounce right now, spot price. I'm telling you, when that silver goes, Coach. And it's so stinking common sense. If I just go back 2 years having an ounce of silver versus the dollar, which one has more buying power?
Oh, come on, Dale.
Silver.
On. So, folks, remember, you can go to the silver store, gold. There's a coin store, probably. Just go buy whatever. You're not spending it. You're trading paper for tangible stuff.
Well, Coach, if I may jump in real quick, what I'm proving your point right there is you do not pay taxes on it. Why? Because it's an exchange of currency.
Mm. So you can go in there. Let's say you got $1,000 hidden under your bed. You can leave it under your bed. Feel good that you got $1,000. Or you can go get $1,000 worth of gold and silver. And then if you need some money, well, you can go sell it at a higher price probably than what you voted at. Curbs against inflation. Oh, man. I didn't mean to get this deep into this thing. Heck, I've been spending 16 minutes. I'm just telling you, folks, they're messing with the money. They're messing with the money. And if we're going to be caught holding a bag of these things, God help us. Jeff Klein.
So Saturday, I had people coming in. They're getting their tax checks now. So they're starting to come in. Lady's got $3,500 or $4,000. I forget what it was on her card. Can I buy that car for that? And I said, you can. Can I swipe my card? I said, you can. But it's going to cost you. She said, how much? I said, figure it up. I said, $129 extra. She said, what? I said, we'll go to the bank and get the money out and come back. She went to the bank, come back. She said, oh, they wouldn't give it all to me. But I got $2,000. But I always ask these people, you have any gold? You have any silver? Any guns? I've had people trade it. They're like, oh, yeah. And then some people say, you really take some silver? I said, oh, yeah, I'll take it.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Hey. Amen. That's what I Oh boy, I get into it. Quickly, Craig. Then I'm going to shift gears real quick. Go. I'm putting it in second. Go ahead, Craig.
This will wind it up. Okay, so you talked about the red notes that Kennedy was issuing. Those yes. were Treasury notes, yes. not Federal Reserve notes.
That's right. That's right.
So why do you think Trump is releasing the Kennedy files? As soon as he got in, he had a plan. He told him, you got 2 weeks to come up with a plan and you got so many weeks to implement a plan. Do you know, this is where I think it's going, that when he's hitting Fort Knox, the Kennedy assassination papers will come out they will see that his speech about the secret societies and the Federal Reserve and the monetary bankers are the ones that killed him. And he's trying to educate the people and make the connection to take the Federal Reserve down and the Treasury Department up.
You mean
up.
To tell me you think President Trump the last 4 years been doing some investigation about what's all been going on? Huh? You don't think he just walked back in there blindly? That he'd been figuring this whole thing out, what's going on? I think Cheryl's right. Fireworks are coming, folks. I think
we'll watch and see if the JFK information and the visit to Fort Knox aren't intricately tied together in the same week or two, so everybody can make the connections.
All right. Okay, thanks. Okay, here we go, because I'm going to do this today. By the way, you won't believe this. I got invited to speak tonight at a church. Brandon Baptist Church, just up the road between Mount Vernon and Granville. They asked me, can you believe that? Wow, so I'm excited about getting a chance to do that. Okay, let me see here. Spencer, go to... which one do I want you on? That's good. Let's do that. That's not it. That's it. I'm sorry. Stop. There it is. Okay, Spence. How about this, folks? Dan Bongino named deputy director of the FBI. Now, hang on. He's one of us, isn't he? He's built an unbelievable podcast. Because he's been counter what's going on in the government. He's been talking about how corrupt the Secret Service is, corrupt the FBI is, and lo and behold, he's now the number two guy at the FBI, Dan Bongino. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Wow. Boom. Unfortunately, he got jabbed. He may have got jabbed. By the way, we lost another friend probably to that. Well, so hang on with me. Pull up for me. Number eight, Victor Davis Hanson. Do you guys know who Victor Davis Hanson is? Victor Davis. This guy is one of the most, he's a brain. Listen, folks, don't miss this, okay? This is what's going on. It's only about 4 minutes. Go ahead and play. Victor Davis Hanson examines the resurgence. Go back to the top. What does it say, Spence? Resurgence of Trump's influence in the counter. Joy? What's her name? Joy?
Behar.
No, the other Joy one.
Reed.
Joy Reid to the curb, baby. Yeah. The what's that other one during this day? The View to the curb, baby. Something going on, folks. And what we're going to begin to see is just how controlled this whole media thing has been, and why the people that you come in contact with are so stupid, because they don't understand that the media has been under the control of Lucifer. And we have an opportunity for the first time, really, in your lifetime, in my lifetime, to push forward. Victor Davis Hanson calls it a counter revolution. Go ahead and play this. 4 or 5 minutes.
And they call it the MAGA revolution. It's not a revolution. It is a counter-revolution. There's a big difference. This is a restoration. Let's use the word Trump restoration. We don't really appreciate what we've been through with 8 years of the Obama revolution and the 4-year more radical third term of Obama using or employing the waxen effigy of Joe Biden. A revolution that we've experienced was a cultural, economic, political, social evolution. It was very similar to the French Revolution under the Robespierre brothers. We should remember what they tried to do. They changed the days of the week. They renamed things. They tore down statues. They went after the church. Does this sound familiar? This revolution that we've experienced, everything was up for sale. Everything was negotiable. We invented a third gender and rammed it down people's throats. We tore down statues. We said 1776 was no longer the foundational day. It was 1619. We changed the very mechanism that we vote. We went from 70% of the electorate voting on election day to 70% of the electorate not doing that, either through mail-in or early voting. That was a radical change that had no discussion. It was done by fiat. It was incredible. We looked at girls' sports and we destroyed it. We said that transgendered biological males that were now transgendered females could compete. They won over 600 medals they took away from hardworking female athletes. We had drag shows among young children. It was an effort to change the entire Constitution. We forget that. They were trying to bring in Puerto Rico as a state and Washington, D.C. to get 4 instant senators. They were proud. They said that they were going to pack the Supreme Court. Hadn't been tried since 1937. And it was a object of disgrace ever since, but they were proud to try it again. They talked about making states, the Senate look like the House. They wanted, and a lot of them were advocating, it was not fair that one senator in Wyoming, to take one example, is worth 250,000 votes, but a senator in California represented 20 million. They wanted to change the makeup of the Senate. They wanted to get rid of the Senate filibuster. Remember that. They wanted to bring back neo-Confederate nullification. 600 jurisdictions in the manner of South Carolina in 1832 or on the edge of the Civil War in 1860 when neo-Confederate Southern states said the federal government's law does not apply to us. Tariffs, Yankee tariffs, no. We were going to override them. Andrew Jackson almost invaded the Carolinas over that, South Carolina. And so these jurisdictions said, federal law doesn't apply here. We're exempt. We have our own laws. Federal immigration law does not apply here. It applies everywhere else to you, but not to us. So this was a revolutionary movement. Movies were different. Sports were different. Take a knee. And Donald Trump came in, and it was not sufficient to say we're going to stop the madness of $37 billion. We're going to stop the madness of being short 40 or 50,000 military recruits because of this DI coupled with the humiliation in Kabul. We're going to stop the appeasement of China. But that wasn't all. He said, the government is broke. We're going to go through all of these agencies. And finally, for the first time in the history of this country, when somebody says they're going to cut federal spending and drain the swamp or cut the administration, we're going to do it. And there's going to be no changing names except to go back to traditional names. And we're not going to topple statues. And if you break the law and you're on campus and you're on a student visa, you're going to go back home. So we're in the midst of a counter-revolution. It's not revolutionary. You know what it is? It's a return to normalcy. It's a return to common sense. It only looks revolutionary to revolutionaries. But to the rest of the people, it is a counter-revolution to restore normalcy and bring the country from the far left fringes back home again.
I believe it was some guy I listened to in the mornings, Coach Dave, I think his name is, I think, said the sun's coming up.
Boom.
Sun's coming up, boys and girls. Sun ain't going down. Sun's coming up. And can I tell you this? It took a good non-Christian like Donald Trump to actually get in there and do what the church is supposed to do. Oh, yeah, yeah. Take no prisoners. Have nothing to do with them. Friends, if you could separate what Donald Trump is doing from his personal Christianity, see, that's where we get bogged down. We're trying to judge what he's doing based on his character, on who he is. Is he really Christian? Is he making some mistakes? Sure, he's making some mistakes. But I got to tell you something. He's doing what I would do I don't know if I'd have the courage to do it. He's doing what I would do. Dan Bongino, second in charge of the FBI. Are you kidding me? Folks, there's something going on. There's something going on. Now I got to show you something else. You know me. Pull up number 9. The CEO pastor, because Coach Dave, if you ever listen to him, he's going to tell you that the problem is and will continue to be the church. And until the church becomes the body of Christ, becomes the salt of the earth and the light of the world, until the government is upon his shoulders, all this crap's going to continue to go on. Now, I don't know who this guy is. I don't mean that in a bad way, but the rise of the CEO pastor. Now help me out here. Anybody see that thing coming apart? Anybody see that coming apart? How many of you go to a church where the pastor is the CEO? Head pastor, associate pastor, children's pastor, mother's pastor, daughter's pastor, parking lot pastor. Oh, got all this bureaucracy in the church under the rise of the CEO pastor, who then take it to different campuses. Oh, yeah. So now we got a pope. Now we have a bunch of little popes. By the way, he's going to die. They don't want him to live. He's been as useful to them as they possibly can be. They don't want him to live. I'm just trusted. They don't want him to live. And so what we have here, this is Dr. Mark Chirona on the CEO pastor. It's 4 minutes and 10 seconds. This is it, man. Go.
To all of you that are emerging leaders as senior pastors in the emerging generations, listen carefully because I'm staying really focused on the topic at hand. The rise
Spencer,
of the CEO
put it 1.5.
pastor and the corporate mindset slow. Overtook the church a number of decades ago. Somewhere along the way, the church stopped asking what it means to be faithful and started asking what it means to be successful. And that shift changed absolutely everything. When pastors became brand managers, congregations turned into consumers, and the pulpit became a platform for influence rather than a place of sacred proclamation, we lost something essential. The CEO pastor is not a scriptural figure. He or she is a product of the industrialized, efficiency-driven culture that measures success by output, scalability, and visibility. In a world where corporate metrics determine value, we exchanged the slow, cruciform work of discipleship for expansion models and leadership strategies borrowed from Wall Street and Silicon Valley. I was part of that generation. What was once a sacred vocation formed by prayer, suffering, and wisdom has been repackaged into a career path measured by audience size, book deals, and social media reach. The shift, my friends, was not accidental. The late modern church, particularly in the West, has been shaped by the logic of consumer capitalism, where growth is the highest virtue. The megachurch phenomenon reinforced the belief that bigger is always better, that a church is healthy if it's expanding numerically, and that pastors are successful if they're building an empire. As theologian John Drain warned us in 2012, in the McDonaldization of the church, we began valuing efficiency over depth, control over mystery, and predictability over the unpredictable movement of the Spirit. We wanted to be in control. But what happens when you scale something that was never meant to be mechanized? You create systems that are unsustainable, leadership models that crush those within them, and an ecclesiology that rewards performance over authenticity. When pastors become executives, their congregations become an audience to be retained rather than a people to be shepherded. What's the result? Burnout, moral collapse, disillusionment, and a shallow spirituality that thrives on
I got to stop a minute. Hang on. Boom! Then keep going.
Result? Burnout, moral collapse, disillusionment, and a shallow spirituality that thrives on spectacle but lacks the substance that belongs to Christ. What's most troubling is that this model was never challenged. It was embraced. Christian leadership books began to quote business gurus more than they quoted Jesus. Church conferences became indistinguishable from corporate leadership summits. The pastors as visionary CEO became the default model, and the language of strategy and branding replaced the language of shepherding and servanthood. But here's the truth. Jesus never built an empire. He never strategized growth models. He never cultivated a personal brand. He never measured his influence by numbers. The moment the church forgets that leadership is cruciform, it exchanges the authority of the cross for the power structures of the world. And when the world sets the terms, the church loses its soul. So here's the question every emerging leader needs to ask themselves. Are you a shepherd or are you a CEO? Because the one lays down his or her life for the sheep. The other monetizes them. And if something in you is stirring as you hear this, if you're wrestling with what this means for your calling, you're not alone. These are the conversations we need to be having, and I'd love to walk alongside leaders who know there has to be a different way. More soon. Stay with me.
Wow.
Huh? Huh? Is that it? Huh? Measuring audience size? CEOs? We see it everywhere, don't we? Don't we see it everywhere? Isn't that what cable TV gave us? See, if I mention World Harvest Church, and I'm not picking on World Harvest Church, if I mention World Harvest Church, people immediately say, Pastor Rod Parsley. They associate the ministry with a man. You get it? What about Lakewood Church? Oh, Joel Osteen. Right? The corporatization of Christianity. It becomes a money-making business. I was watching a video yesterday of this one here in Columbus area that's having some real, real turmoil. Do you have any idea how many books they have written? Books they have written and marketed and sold? Books? And all Christianity has become in that many places like that is a marketing machine. Marketing machine. They expand it to 4 campuses and 5 campuses and TV and what? It's marketing. Because look, we no longer preach a gospel that calls you to die to yourself, to lay down what you have, to take care of the sick, to take care of the needy. We don't do that anymore. In fact, they want you to give them 10% of your income, and they guilt you into giving them 10% of your income so they can hire staff and do all that stuff. And then you look around and there are people around you that need money, but you don't give money to the people around you because why? Why, you've given it to the church. And now it's the church's job to take care of them. But the church doesn't take care of them because it's the government's job. It's the government. See how this game works? See? It's so subtle. Folks, the devil doesn't come to the front door of the church with a tail and horns. He comes in as an angel of light. It sounds good. It feels good. It looks good. Look around us. Is it good? The American government, is it good? The church, a toothless tiger? Huh? Is it? Okay, never forget. Pull up number seven. Church complicit. P.S. I'll get there in just a second. Hang on. Church is complicit. Huh? Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget. Make it a little bigger. They filled skate parks with sand. They took down basketball nets at parks. They taped off playgrounds. They forced children to sit in isolated circles forced children to eat outside in the cold, put plastic around school desks. They canceled school dances, graduations, sporting events. They closed churches, forced curfews, closed parks, closed beaches, shut down small businesses, but kept the big corporations open, forced you to wear something on your face, had neighbors ratting out other neighbors, called parents who objected at schools domestic terrorists. They censored speech, stopped travel, banned fire, and silenced health professionals and scientists that disagreed. They arrested, fined, and jailed those who did not comply, wouldn't let loved ones see loved ones in the hospital, resulting in people dying all alone. They forced people to inject themselves with something they didn't want or they'd lose their job. They stopped people from gathering for funerals. They banned singing. They banned dancing. They told you cannot have people visit you at your home. They shamed you. They mocked you. They treated you as peasants while they gathered with their elitist friends. They lied over and over and over again to you and then took your freedom. They want you to forget it. And can I say this? All of it with the complicit behavior of the American church.
Boom.
P.S. Come on in.
Hey, Dave. I don't try to speak to things I don't know about, but Mark Sharona, I tried to get life coaching from him one time. He's a phenomenal theologian, phenomenal speaker, but he's guilty of everything he identified. Seriously. Yeah. No, I tried to sign up within the first 5 minutes of the first call. He's like, you sure you want to do this? And blah, 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 blah. And then later on, I just tried to send him emails, having questions, never got a response. He's just a shallow, he's very smart, phenomenal speaker, but he's just a hollow shell.
Okay, but that doesn't take away the truth that he spoke.
No, I agree with you, and I agree with it, but it's still a con job, right? He's identifying the issues, blah, 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 but he's not going to do nothing.
I get it. No, I get it, man. I get it. I'm with you. All right? Okay, hang on. Let me do another one here. Pull up a Death of Democrats, because that's what's happened. Folks, they're pulling back Joy Reid. They're canceling The View. By the way, how did we sit around forever and allow the media to be so Luciferian left? How did that happen to us? Oh, I know how. We're not to judge. We're not to be salt. We're supposed to be sugar. We're supposed to love everybody, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. All those things that we were told to do, we didn't do. Why didn't we do? Because evil men crept in unaware. They changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served people rather than the Creator. And so we got so off track, so out of line, that I'm going to be honest with you, I don't even know what Christianity really is anymore. To the point where the President of the United States has Paula White as an advisor. Wow. So don't ever forget this. When millions of illegals were ushered in through the southern border, the Democrats said nothing. When they abandoned millions of dollars worth of military equipment in Afghanistan, I'm sorry, the Republicans did nothing. The Republicans. When they flaunted a two-tier justice system, one for them and one for everyone else, Republicans didn't do anything. When they covered up Hunter Biden's laptop, they didn't do anything. When they passed a $1 trillion infrastructure bill that failed miserably, Republicans didn't do anything. When they forced Americans to take an untested vaccine, Republicans didn't do anything. When inflation crushed the middle class, they didn't say anything. No. When they sent billions to Ukraine, Republicans didn't make a peep. Come on. When chemicals polluted the water in East Palestine, Ohio, Republicans didn't do anything about that. When Americans were raped, robbed, and murdered by illegals, they didn't do anything. When they implanted Kamala as presidential nominee without getting a single vote, they didn't say nothing. When billionaire and anti-American George Soros funded dozens of AG elections, they didn't make a peep. When they turned our classrooms into liberal indoctrination camps, Republicans didn't say nothing. When we spent our tax dollars on inmate transition surgeries, Jim Jordan didn't say nothing. When they gave the citizens of Hawaii $700 after losing their entire city, Republicans didn't say nothing. When they gave free money, food, and five-star hotel lodging to illegals, not a peep. What's his name? Mitch McConnell. And they came for our free speech, locked up guys in the gulag. They didn't do nothing. When DEI weakened the military and put our national security at risk, they didn't do nothing. Lindsey Graham, he didn't do nothing. He just wanted to go fight somewhere else. He wanted to go defend. He wanted to go send somebody to go defend Israel. There I said it. When DEI weakened, I'm sorry. When they colluded with the media to push false reports, probably because they didn't say nothing. When it was open season on law enforcement and criminals reigned, they didn't do nothing. When they weaponized the justice system to take down their political opponents, they didn't say nothing. Nobody said anything. When they covered up Biden's rapidly declining mental state, this should have been a Republican pounding on the podium every day. He's sick. He can't do it. He's incompetent. They didn't do nothing. They knew it and they didn't do nothing. When they groomed our kids in school and hid it from the parents, Republicans didn't do nothing. Conservatives. When the drug epidemic exploded and thousands died annually, they didn't do nothing. When they accosted the Jews on their campuses, they didn't do nothing. When they weaponized the intelligence agencies against Americans, when they sent the FBI after Bill Dunphy, pastors hid. They didn't do nothing. When they spent $45 million on diversity and inclusion, scholarships in Burma, didn't say nothing. When they let men play women's sports, conservatives kept their damn mouth shut. They didn't say nothing. When they chanted death to America and burned our flag, they didn't say nothing. When they shut down our energy production and bolted Russia, they didn't say nothing. When the crime rates in American cities increased, they didn't say nothing. While thousands of veterans were left to sleep out on the streets, they didn't say a damn thing. When 300,000 migrant children went missing, to this day, we don't even know where they are. They still ain't said nothing. When Joe Biden pardoned his friends and family, they didn't even peep. When men were celebrated for pretending to be women, business as usual. When they let a Chinese spy balloon sail all across America, nobody said nothing. When 50 intelligence agents all lied to bury the Hunter Biden laptop as Russian disinformation, they still haven't done nothing. Let me throw this in before I forget. When Obama got elected with a fake birth certificate, they still haven't said anything. By the way, that's rearing its ugly head again. I don't know if you guys have followed that or not. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, they got it. They got it all. Huh? Oh, yeah. That guy, he ain't an American. Never was. Where am I? When American citizens were taken hostage and held for a year in Gaza, I didn't say nothing. When Facebook admitted that he conspired with the Biden administration to censor the truth, Republicans didn't do nothing. When they cleaned the streets of San Francisco for the communist Chinese, President Xi Jinping didn't say anything. When Fauci and the WHO peddled COVID-19 virus lies and covered up their origins, the Republicans didn't say nothing. You saw the corruption. You saw the lies. You saw the bad policy, the anti-American agenda, and you didn't do a damn thing about it. So please spare us your crocodile tears and all your fake hysteria now. For 4 years, you watched this country get run into the ground on all fronts, and you said nothing. Can I throw pastors in there, Dale? Can I throw pastors in there? Now it's our turn. Now it's our turn. They're screaming and hollering and, huh? To whomever wrote this, well said. Thank you. Where am I? That's it. Huh? This is true, huh, folks? This is it. This is America. And things are about to change. Okay, I've yapped for 43 minutes. Somebody can come on in now. Put that in the chat because people are already saying, put that in the chat. Yeah. It's the truth, isn't it? This is the truth. Have the Republicans done anything about any of this stuff? That two-card Monty, vote for us. Huh? Republicans good, Democrats bad. Come on, man. Where's the body of Christ? Where's the body of Christ in all this mess? Where are they? Oh, I know where they are. Putting on masks and closing the churches down. That's where they are. Dale.
Yeah, amen, Coach. I saw this Utah, I don't know, senator, representative. You know, we got to be careful. You know, these people, this is their livelihood, their home, about these people being fired. I said, you know, none of that care and concern, because when you were naming that list, I posted something like that this morning. My wife working in the hospital, they tried to force her to get a jab. And when she refused, she used her, you know, religious exemption. Coach, they made her wear a sticker on her badge like a Jewish swastika star in Germany. right? And she was ridiculed and mocked and looked down upon. This stuff right here, you know what? Look, I don't hate them. I'll cook them a meal. But you know what? They've laid on the leg of the taxpayers. Fire them. And I don't care about their emotional feelings right now.
Amen. I don't care either. Hey, I got some more good stuff. Can I give you something else? What's number? Pull up number two. Watch this guy take Fauci to the woodshed. That I'm going to say this. This is Coach Dave without anybody else voting for me to say it. Fauci ought to be publicly hung. That's what I think. Listen, watch this guy take him apart. Go ahead.
And insinuated that politicians, only bloggers, only conspiracy theorists are disagreeing with you. I want to point out that I'm probably the only member of Congress that actually treated patients during the pandemic from the very beginning to the very end of the pandemic during night shifts in the ER. Thousands of patients during that time. And in 2020, I was censored. My medical license was threatened because I disagreed with bureaucrats. Literally taken off the internet as a person who is treating patients with leading edge technologies, developing theories, but doing my very best, but being censored by the United States government for the first time, stepping in and taking the place of medical professionals as the experts in healthcare. Any dissent surrounding COVID-19 treatments, mask mandates, and any public policy surrounding the pandemic was immediately labeled as anti-science. I watched as public health officials and politicians told my patients what treatment options were best for them, regardless of their comorbidities or their medical history. Despite my education and my training and my experience, my opinions were relegated to conspiracy and misinformation by so-called healthcare experts who had never treated a patient throughout the entire pandemic. This has been a black eye on the medicine and has highlighted why government should never, never insert itself in between patients and their healthcare providers. The American people deserve to make medical decisions through conversations with their physicians, rather than politically motivated mandates. Dr. Fauci, did you ever treat a patient for COVID during the pandemic?
I was part of a team that was at the NIH that took care. We didn't take care of many of them.
Okay, so not hands-on. Got it. Thank you. Why would I be criticized by a bureaucrat for doing my very best as a healthcare? This is a rhetorical question. But why? Why would the government, who's never treated a patient for COVID, you can read all the things you want, but you're not there. You're not seeing patients. You're not watching people die, intubating patients right there with that disease in your face, watching it happen, watching the development of this disease and actually learning from it. But I'm being told by bureaucrats what's right and wrong. And what's funny is everything I was censored on, I was proven to be right. Pretty crazy, isn't it? You said in an interview that you gave as part of an audiobook written by Michael Spector that you believed an institutional should make it hard for people to live their lives so they'd feel pressured to get vaccinated. Could we run the audio clip on that, please?
You think can be done about it? I have to say that I don't see a big solution other than some sort of mandatory vaccination. I know federal officials don't like to use that term.
Once people feel empowered and protected legally, you were going to have schools, universities, and colleges are going to say, you want to come to this college, buddy? You're going to get vaccinated. Lady, you're going to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Big corporations like Amazon and Facebook and all of those others are going to say, you want to work for us? You get vaccinated. And it's been proven that when you make it difficult for people in their lives, they lose their ideological bullshit and they get vaccinated.
Thank you. Are all objections to COVID vaccinations ideological bullshit, Dr. Fauci?
No, they're not, and that's not what I was referring to.
Well, in reference to making it hard for people to get education, traveling, working, I'd say it very much was in context. And I take great offense to this. Miss Allison Williams testified before this committee about losing her job because she sought an exemption for ESPN's vaccine mandate, which came from recommendations from bureaucrats like yourself. She and her husband were actively working with a fertility expert, a physician, on how to get pregnant, and agreed with the premise that she was young, healthy, wanted to get pregnant, and shouldn't get the vaccination for medical purposes. But she was fired because you made it hard, just like you said in your statement, because you didn't want to make sure that the ideological bullshit got in the way of her working, of living her life, of making a medical decision with her healthcare professional. I think America should take great offense to this. That's exactly what you meant when you said making it hard for people to live without getting a vaccination. You affected people's ability to work, travel, be educated, to actually flourish in American society, to self-determine, as we're all given God-given rights. Shame on you. Dr. Fauci, you've become Dr. Fear. Americans do not hate science. I don't hate science. The American people hate having their freedoms taken from them. You inspired and created fear through mass mandates, school closures, vaccine mandates that have destroyed the American people's trust in our public health institutions. This fear you created will continue to have ripple effects over generations to come. You have already seen its effects in education, in the economy, and everything else. Quite frankly, you said, if you disagree with me, you disagree with science. Dr. Fauci, I disagree with you because I disagree with fear. It's been insinuated.
Boom, huh? Boom. All right, I got to shift gears. I only got 9 minutes left. Craig sent me some pictures. I don't have time to get them to you. Craig, I forgot all about that. I forgot all about. Come on in, Craig. Tell us what we did in November, man.
Well, I mean, the thing that we did.
Send me a bunch of pictures here. I don't have time to get them up there for you. What did we do, Craig?
Randy wrote the media degrees. And then, of course, I went to Chicago. But then I went around and did all the news media in Washington, D.C.
We did. You staked all the news media, right?
On election day.
Yeah.
And then,
Hang on. We went into Columbus, and we staked all the media in Columbus. I forgot we did that, Craig. Go ahead.
Yeah, we did it, Randy got a download from a load, Lord, and we just did it. And then I just sent you some pictures. So you remember when all the truckers came? Well, they hung out here in Hagerstown. And that was like 2 weeks after you came to Hagerstown. Remember I told you, I said, that very place that we were at, they drove right by it. We were 2 weeks later holding signs for them. Oh, anyways, there was a truck. It brought like 8 pallets of Robert Kennedy's book of Fauci. So Rusty, me and Myra, I sent you the picture. Maybe you can send it to Spencer. We went down and we went to the entrance of NIH at a stoplight with our safety vests on. We knocked on windows. We got a lot of fingers and we handed out Robert F. Kennedy's book in front of NIH. And we even gave one to the security police officer that came up and said, well, what are you doing? And Rusty said, well, let me give you a book first. I mean, God has a sense of humor. I got to say it.
But hey, Craig, I appreciate you because I forget all that stuff. I forget that, my goodness, we went and staked the media, didn't it? We staked the media here in Ohio, didn't we? Yeah, we did. Folks, look at the upheaval going on in the mainstream media.
Well, look at it this way too. What book were we handing out to the public there in front of Bethesda? The book of Robert F. Kennedy. Where is he at now? What's he in charge of? He took Fauci's job. I mean, he's in charge of health, Department of Health, but NIH is underneath it, you know. So,
amen. So, hey, pull up for me real quick here, Spencer, number 5. This is a good picture. Number 5. This is true. Cleaning house. Look at all these people. Look at these media people who've been in charge of the minds of Americans for how long? And they're all on the bus out. Actually, they're all on the plane out, man. They're gone. The View's been canceled, right? All of that stuff. Think how organized the media's attempt has been to control what you think, say, and do. And look, they're all gone. On their way. Joy Reid, done. Done. Morning Joe, on his way out. Huh? Tom Hanks, about to be exposed. Oh, my goodness. George Clooney. What a joke, right? Oh, my goodness. What a time to be alive. Somebody come in. We got 6 minutes. Somebody tell me what you think. Tired of hearing what I hate to tell you this. We're winning. We're freaking winning. Sorry. Paul, come on in.
What do you think the natural reaction to the mass betrayal about finding 9/11, the COVID, no gold at Fort Knox, all the betrayal. What do you think that's going to create, Coach?
I think it's going to create? I think it's going to create confidence in authority in those of us who've been saying it. I think when the news comes out, people are now going to say, you know, you're not crazy. That's what I think.
But there's a lot less of us.
Well, but we're growing, brother. But we're growing. And I always come back to the same thing. The rise and the fall of America will be on the American pulpits. That's where it will be. Will the pastors get up in front of their people and repent? And I'd say they're probably not going to because they're too prideful, right? But the only way we're going to win is if God's people become the salt and the light that they're supposed to be. That's the only way. If God's people have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For a pastor to stand in front of his congregation and say, I'm sorry, I have let you down. I've let you down. And I've made our entire existence here on earth about the future. It's about the future. If our entire existence is here on earth is about the future, then why doesn't he take us home? Why doesn't he? Because we're the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world, and we're supposed to be impacting everywhere we go. Huh? Go ye into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you, lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. And we're sitting around griping and moaning, wanting it to be the end of the age, by the way. Oh, if it could just be the end of the age. And here we sit in this mess, praying for our only rescue to be, we're out of here. What a pathetic group we've become. Eileen, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. Just wanted to let you know that we had the Michigan GOP convention this weekend. And even though one of the candidates for chair, Michonne Madoc, was endorsed by President Trump and Turning Point, she was ousted by her whole slate. It was completely flipped. To the Patriot Grassroots Christian.
Awesome.
Yes. It was unbelievable. They're all in shock.
Why is that, Eileen? Why is that? Because people's eyes are beginning to open, aren't they?
And they're showing up en masse.
Oh, what a time to be alive, huh?
Amen.
There's a house cleaning going on. There's a house cleaning gone. Joy Reid gone. She's out of here, right? Whoopi gone. They're gone, folks. They're gone. Ellen gone. All of these Luciferian controlled people gone, baby. Gone. Oh, my goodness. Jeff.
Tomorrow night, Church in the Garage. We'll have David Arthur in there. So 6 o'clock.
What day?
Tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 6.
Tuesday night. 6 o'clock, Church in the Garage. Oh man, oh man. I need a month. I got more stuff. I got pull up number 6 real quick. Brett, come on in, Brett.
Yeah, did okay, Coach. Morning. Did Dave Arthur? Did he change his ways again? Back to?
Yep. We're gonna find out. He claims to have changed his ways. Right.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome.
Hey, listen. I'm making it very clear. I'm not. I would tell David the same thing. Bible says Alexander the coppersmith has done us great harm. Huh?
Yeah.
What you did, you've done us great harm. Now, you can say you apologize and you're sorry and we can pick up, but I'm going to trust and verify.
Yeah, because I got to say, when we had him in here to speak, he is a powerful speaker to move people away from that lifestyle. So I hope that to be true. All right. Blessings.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Boy, I'm out. I'm not going to get to this thing. Maybe I'll have to use it. Is America's witch hunt for racism finally ending? I got to get it up here real quick, Spence. I got to get it up here real quick. I see you, Trent. The following chart plots America's bizarre obsession with racism. Look at this, folks. Make the chart. Just show me the chart, Spence. I only got 30 seconds. Look, folks. Look from 2010 to 2020 how much the media pushed racism. Look at it. Look at it. Why? Divide and conquer, baby. Divide and conquer. That's another one that's coming down. Joy Reid, Whoopi, all those guys, all coming down. What'd Trump say? Can't take the winning. Can't take the winning. Folks, this can be the church's finest hour. Rise, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul, mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. I'm excited about where we're heading. See you tomorrow.